I'd like to start out with a question. Did Jesus come to this earth born of a human to come only to the Jews? His ancestry is in the line of King David of the tribe of Judah. But some people have said that he's black, he's Asian, he's white. We can understand, of course, why people would think this in order to be able to relate themselves if they believe in Jesus Christ. Well, we know his skin color was that of the people of the day. It'd be either Jewish and Middle Eastern, probably a little olive color, or maybe just slightly dark. Because it shows in Matthew 26, in verse 47 through 49, it shows what Jesus Christ looked like by the terms of when Judas betrayed him. In Matthew 26, 47, it says that while he was speaking, behold, Judas, one of the 12 with a great multitude, with swords and clubs, came from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now his betrayer had given them a sign, saying, whomever I kiss, he is the one, seize him. Well, you know, he didn't stand out of the day, so he just looked like another person of the day. Some may feel that Jesus was only here just for the Jews and not anyone else. And maybe rightly so. Without looking deeply into the scriptures, this may seem possible. My purpose here today is to show differently. When Jesus says that I was sent to the lost sheep of Israel, that's in Matthew 15, which you can turn there as I'm going to be going there in a little bit. In Matthew 15, verse 24, he says he's just to the lost sheep of Israel. And disciples were not to go to the Gentiles or the Samaritans. You can find that in Matthew 10, verse 6. So that kind of shows that, you know, it's just to the house of Israel and to the Jews. But I'm going to show differently. Let's turn to Matthew 15 and turn to verse 21. It's about the Syrophoenician lady, or we know it as the woman of Canaan. The reason why it is called the Syrophoenician is because she's a Gentile from Phoenician coast within the Roman province of Syria, near the Tyre and Sidon. So, verse 21. And then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman came from the region and cried out to him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is deeply possessed, demon-possessed. But he answered her not. Can you imagine? How would you react to something like that? He just kind of blew her off, so to speak. But he answered not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away, for she cries out after us. But he answered her and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. In verse 25, then she came and worshipped him. Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dog, to the dogs. Or it says little dogs. Well, that's interesting because in the concordance, it says dogs is really referred to as a puppy. So it wasn't maybe as so derogatory sounding as it seems. It says that Christ won't, it'll be in G2952, which means puppy. Christ didn't want to be slowed down from his mission. He wasn't ready to go out to the Gentiles and to the other world. He was just, at that time, ready to go to the house of Israel. So it was like taking food from the children or from the disciples and from the people and giving it to their puppy, we could just say. It was just a lesson in teaching the disciples, really, a lesson of faith. And if we continue, in verse 27, and she said, Lord, our truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. And we know in verse 28, her daughter was healed. And why was it? Because of her faith. This should teach us also of the kind of faith that we all need. Unwavering, as this Syrophoenician woman had. Looking only at the scripture, it sure seems like that the Jews only were to have salvation. After all, Jesus' bloodline came from Abraham to David of the tribe of Judah. You don't have to turn there. You're very familiar with Genesis 1, 26 and 27. God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created male and female. And I'll explain a little more on this a little further. I just want to set that up for now. So did Jesus come only for the Jews to be able to have salvation? Or did he just come, or did he come for all mankind? Well, we can answer that. Yes, he did come for all people. Jesus Christ did come for all. He gave up all of the glory that he had with the Father to be born a human. And you can look at chapter 1 of John to verify that. But you know, he brought a different message that the religious leaders of the day, for that message in claiming to be the Son of Man, was just too much for them. He was brutally beaten beyond measure and crucified. His blood, interesting, is all the same, isn't it? All humans' blood is the same when it is shed. He shed it and suffered for all to be able to have access to the Father, and upon repentance and baptism and receiving God's Holy Spirit. You know, there's a famous scripture, at least I like to call it a famous scripture, is every time we drive down the highway, we see these billboard signs. And that is in John 3:16. And what does it say? It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The scripture doesn't say he gave his only Son to those of Judah descent. He gave his only Son to all people. He is the propitiation, excuse me, I can't pronounce that correctly, for our sins. And not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. You can find that in 1 John 2, verse 2. The whole world, not just the Jews, but all people. Let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. And it says, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." And what does verse 6 say? He says, "He gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time." You know, and in Hebrews 2:9, it says, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, and crowned with glory to honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for just the Jews." No, taste death for everyone. All people in their time will be able to have their chance for salvation. So let's see a little bit more about the bloodline of our Savior. Just going to paraphrase some of this because it would take too long, but if you know the story of Tamar, Tamar was the daughter-in-law of Judah. During some deception, but Tamar was a Canaanite, and Judah's wife was also a Canaanite. But we read it, you could read the story in Genesis 38. But through trickery, Tamar pretended she was a prostitute, and she had relations with her father-in-law, Judah. And through that relationship, she became pregnant, and she bore Perez and Zerah. Perez was the ancestor of King David, and then, of course, as we know, Jesus. Rahab, a real prostitute who lived in Jericho, she was a Canaanite also. She was spared when Joshua took Jericho because she feared the God of Israel and saved the spies from being caught when they came out to survey the land to see if they're going to take over and see what the perception was with the people. So what archaeologists have found, that all the walls were down and everything except for that one spot where her home was. And her home was attached to the outer wall right there, and that is still standing to this day. Well, I believe it's still to this day. But anyway, they found it. She was spared. But after that, she married salmon. I like it's spelled just like the fish, S-A-L-M-O-N, M-O-N, a descendant also of Judah, and they became the parents of Boaz. We've heard a story about Boaz and Ruth, haven't we? Ruth, a Moabite. When you look at the Moabs, boy, they were pretty brutal people. They did child sacrificing, and you know, just the Moabs in general were just evil people. But she was a daughter-in-law of Naomi. Ruth married Boaz, and their child was Obed, who was the grandfather of King David, ancestor to Christ. So we can see all these women accepted the God of Israel and worshiped the God of Israel. They believed in the God, and they changed their ways and their livings, but they were Canaanites. They were not of the Jewish descent. So isn't this similar to us today? You know, I'm Italian, Dutch, Irish, English, Indian. You can say that's pretty much a Heinz 57, I suppose. And there's some of Israelite in there and some is Gentile. I was born in Chicago. I was raised mostly in South Dakota, but I do have some Southern blood in me because my grandparents were from Arkansas and Alabama. And the Indian comes from the Indian tribe that you are familiar with is the Choctaw, if I said that correctly, but I don't know much else about our ancestry. So there's a mixture, but yet, are we not God's people? We call ourselves spiritual Jews. We gave ourselves to Jesus at baptism, just as those ladies gave themselves over to God. Of course, they weren't baptized, but they were given and worshiped the God of Israel. I brought these out to just to bring about a little more about them. You can read the whole genealogy in Matthew chapter 1. And it has the whole genealogy from Christ, from Abraham to Christ. So I just wanted to bring those out to give the emphasis that Jesus Christ came for all human beings. And there's no racism or anything about him. So we see in closing, no matter what race or background, Jesus died for all people. His bloodline, as we see, wasn't just the Jewish. Like all humans, the bloodline truly goes back to, as in Genesis, Adam and Eve, the first humans created, which the only answer then is God must have had something within them, offspring, to be able to produce different races. And of course, we know there was also interracial marriages too. The point is that Jesus suffered for all mankind. No matter where we came from in this world, the color of our skin has no bearing on being able to be called or being born into the family of God. Jesus is our Savior, even for those who have died and for those who are living. Eventually in their time in the resurrection, we'll all have a chance to be partake of the family of God. Finally, I'm just going to, you don't have to turn there, I'm going to be just quote part of a verse of Acts 17, verse 26. It was when Paul was talking about the unknown God. But just this one sentence, and it says, "And he has made from one blood every nation of men." So, brethren, we can see that Jesus Christ came for all mankind. Jesus is for all who answer his calling.